This morning, we are starting a new sermon series for Advent, and as your bulletin says, it's called The Names of Jesus. There's so much meaning in a name. I'm sure if we took the time this morning to go around the room and state how we got our names, how our parents named each one of us, I'm sure we could take hours explaining the stories of how we got our names. Personally, my mom used to name her baby dolls Brian for whatever reason. My six-year-old mom used to name her dolls Brian, so that's how I got my name. There'd be laughing and we'd be amazed behind the history of all of our names. And just as there is history and meaning in our name, in the same way there is history and meaning in Jesus' name and all the titles that Jesus holds. In the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas during worship, we are going to be exploring those different names and their history. The name of Jesus we are going to be looking at today is Son of Man. This is the name for Jesus that is first predicted in the Old Testament book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision in which the Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven. This is a foreshadowing to the fact that the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be connected to bringing heaven back to earth. And Luke 21 is where we will be looking at for our passage today. And in this chapter, it's all about the signs that point to the return of Jesus to earth as the Son of Man. Now, today is Hope Sunday, so it seems sort of strange, if you ask me, that we start off this first Sunday of Advent not talking about Jesus' birth, but talking about his return. At first glance, the reading for our sermon seems out of place during Advent. But it's important to remember that Advent is also a time to prepare for Christ's second coming and also to celebrate his birth. And that preparation includes watching and waiting for signs of Jesus' return. And Jesus' second return is what our passage today is all about. So hear now these words from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you will see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on those who live on the face of this whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you might be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends our reading for the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, and for the Word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn today is titled, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent. It's number 166 in the Green Hymnal if you're here in the sanctuary. For those of you worshiping at home, that link will drop into the comments with the words below. So let's join together and stand and sing our song on page 166 in your hymnal. may be seated. Will you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be a reflection of you, Lord Christ, our rock, our redeemer, our Son of Man. Amen. The question before me as I began writing my college admissions essay during my senior year of high school was, as you look towards your future, what gives you hope? My goal was to make this essay authentic to me. I wanted to show the admissions board who I was and what truly was giving me hope at this point in my life. So I took some time to be alone. I got away from my phone. I had a flip phone at that time. I got away from my flip phone, computer, and other distractions, and it was just me, a pencil, and a notepad. And I took about 10 to 15 minutes to dig deep, and I started to imagine my future. And it's funny, because my future that I imagined back then looks very similar to the reality that I'm in now. I was standing in a pulpit and preaching to a lovely congregation. I didn't know what your faces looked like back then, but I imagined a congregation. And I imagined myself helping people experience the love of God like my youth pastor did for me. And then I made a list of all the things that gave me hope in my dream of becoming a pastor. And as that list began to grow, one thing or a couple things stuck out to me perfectly clear. What gave me hope in my future was my family and my youth pastor that was there for me at that age. And this week, I was actually able to dig out that flash drive that housed my admissions essay from that year. And here's a snippet of what I wrote from that opening paragraph. I'm from a divorced family, and like children that go through divorce, I blame myself. If only I was a better son, then this wouldn't have happened, is what I said to myself. I watched my family split apart and move, and only seeing my dad every other weekend, that hurt. I hated my new school and didn't really fit in or have any friends. But what started to give me hope during this difficult time in my life was finding a youth group and a youth pastor that cared about me. My youth pastor was the first adult to allow me to open up about the pain of my parents' divorce, and he is someone I trust. He showed me love at a time in my life when I felt unlovable. I have hope in my future because I have a true mentor and friend who is by my side, who loves me and supports me and believes in me. A true friend and mentor were what gave me hope at age 18. And entering into this Advent season, what gives me hope is being a part of this church community that loves me just as I am. So when you think about the word hope, what comes to mind right now? I'll give you a few seconds just to think. What gives you hope? What gives the gospel writer Luke hope is that the Son of Man is coming back to the world to bring hope to all. Jesus is coming back to the world to bring hope. The hope that the Son of Man will bring is described, I see, in three different ways in this passage. And the first way I see hope being described is through signs. Our passage starts out today with Luke stating in verse 25 that when the Son of Man comes back, there will be signs, the sun and the moon and the stars. All the nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And the question I get a lot from friends and family members about the Bible is always, how will we know when Jesus is coming back? My response is always to kind of turn to this passage and say to them, I think it's going to be hard to miss when Jesus will return. It's going to be obvious. The cosmic signs of the Son of Man's return will highlight the glory of God. To the average person, these signs will be pretty scary. Luke describes average people as shaking because of these signs. But Jesus says the hope that is found in verse 28 is that his followers will know what is happening when they see these signs. They are going to stand and lift their heads because they will know redemption is drawing near. And that's the hope, that these signs might seem scary, but redemption is coming. These earth-shattering signs all accompany the most spectacular sign of all that no one can miss, and that's the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Here is the hope that Jesus is coming back. Everything will be in its right place when the Son of Man returns. Which leads us to the second way in that hope is described in this passage. We learn that the hope the Son of Man will bring is eternal. This eternal hope is coming, and we must be patient. And Jesus uses an analogy of a fig tree to describe that patience. So as I was thinking about this analogy that Jesus uses, I thought about an orchid plant that I have in my apartment. I joke that this orchid plant is like my child. I take care of her very well. I've given this orchid plant a name. Her name is Twyla. Named after someone, a character on my favorite show. Twyla's petals fell off a few months ago, and since that time, I've been patiently waiting for them to return, taking very good care of her, giving her proper sunlight. Orchids are very tricky, and she needs 3 ice cubes a week. I've learned that because you can't overwater them, so you have to give her 3 ice cubes a week. And I've been patiently waiting for those petals to come back and bring joy to my windowsill once again. In the same way, the Advent signs are as ordinary and as common as a fig tree spreading leaves or an orchid plant getting her petals back. When we see the leaves and see the petals, we know something is happening. Summer is near. I know as we enter into winter, it's tough to think about summer coming, but it's coming. With the new season, there's new life, new growth, new fruit, new petals. When I see those petals again, my heart will be filled with joy because for the new life of my plant. And just as when we see the Son of Man, our hearts will be filled with complete joy because this is the hope of Advent, that our world will be in the right order. The Son of Man is coming back with an eternal kingdom that will never pass away. The last way I see hope described here is that the Son of Man will bring freedom from the anxieties of this life. And when I think about the anxieties of this life, I think about a heavy backpack that we carry. Actually, I was reminded this past week when I went home for Thanksgiving of the Thanksgivings of the past when I used to have to write final papers, and they were often due the week after Thanksgiving week, so I'd bring a heavy duffel bag with all these huge library books. This weekend, I didn't bring quite as many books, but I did bring 2 commentaries for this sermon home with me. And my family reminded me of those times when I was just bringing duffel bags worth of books back home. And these books became a burden. Our backs began to hurt. I may end up falling over because of all these books. In the same way, I think about the anxieties that we can face in life can become like a heavy backpack and become so heavy and burdensome that we end up falling over. The hope that is being proclaimed here in this passage is that when the Son of Man comes back, we'll be able to stand before him freely without the weights of the anxieties of this life on our backs. Our backpacks will be empty. Why will they be empty? Because Jesus took on our weight for us. We can stand freely before the Son of Man. All we have to do is believe. The hope of that freedom is available to all of us. And so what does this passage mean for us today? I think as we enter into this busy Advent season, we should be entering in with a spirit of hope because Jesus is coming back. The burdens and evils of this world may be many, but the Son of Man's hope is stronger. And Jesus cares about you and all that you might be going through entering this Advent season. Stress to afford gifts or feeling isolated from family or even the weariness of a pandemic that doesn't just seem to end. Every emotion that you might be feeling this morning is okay. It's valid. You're allowed to feel. And Jesus cares about it all. He wants you to come to him with all those burdens so that you can experience the hope in his return. The challenge for all of us this Advent is that we are supposed to give that hope away to others, through our actions, words, and love. The world needs the gift of hope this Advent. So this year, lift up your heads because the Son of Man is coming to bring hope. Hope for our world and hope for you. Amen. Our closing hymn today is titled, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. We're going to be singing verses 1, 3, and 4. If you're in the sanctuary, you can find that on page 306 in your hymnal. For those of you worshiping at home, you will find that dropping into the comments below.